So the title and the purpose of today's message, and if you like to take notes, man, I have got some great points for you to take some notes, whether it's in your phone or whatever. I know we have even several students that like taking notes. And so the title of today's message is called The Point of Evangelism. The Point of Evangelism. Now, several weeks ago, I shared a message called The Point of Prayer. And basically, it was a guide that showed us sort of a step-by-step how we could, a suggestion, okay, it's biblical, how we can use our prayer time. We start off with praise, just praising God for who He is. And this isn't a time of, God, to praise you for all you've done for me. It's not about you. It's just praising God for who He is, okay? Whether you were ever on the planet or not, okay, it's all about praising God for who He is. And then it was an offering. The second step in your prayer is offering up your confessions of sin, your control of the things in your life, and then your commitment to follow Him. So your offering. So God, I praise you for who you are. I'm offering my sin to you. I'm offering myself unto you. And then you intercede for those who are in your life. You're like, man, I pray for this. I pray for my friend Todd. I pray for these people in my life that just need your help and guidance. And then you pray for your needs, okay? Your own needs. And then you close it out with thank you. God, I thank you for just listening to my prayer. Thank you for answering in those prayers according to your will, according to your purpose, and according to your timing. And so the point of prayer is praise, offering, intercession, needs, and thanksgiving. And so you can actually find that on your mobile app. If you have not downloaded the church mobile app, you need to do that. So, but today's point is all about evangelism. So what is evangelism? It's basically sharing the message of salvation and new life through Jesus to people in which you come in contact with on a day-to-day basis or in random occurrences. And so we have an opportunity to evangelize or to share our faith. Now, you could do that with Scripture. Obviously, you want to use Scripture with that. You want to use that with your skill, okay, with your abilities. Well, Charlie Kirk's been in the news all over the place, his memorial services today. Charlie Kirk used his skill to actually share the gospel. And so that's just an example. Whatever skill you have, you can share the gospel. If you love to play soccer, if you love to sew, if you love to garden, if you love to read books, if you love to work on cars, you can use whatever skill you have to share the gospel. So it's Scripture, skill, and your story. Everybody has a story. If you have accepted Christ as Savior, you have a story. And so, but why is evangelism important? Well, first of all, Jesus commands us to do that in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. And it says, therefore, go, everybody say go, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So Jesus said, go and make disciples and baptize them. Break next week, church picnic and baptism. There's some people in this room, maybe you grew up and you made a decision to follow Christ, but you haven't followed up with baptism. Okay. You can be baptized. Yes. Adults, we've baptized lots of adults. Okay. Whether you've made a fresh decision or you made a decision earlier and you just haven't been baptized. And I mean dunked in the water. If you want to do that, please let us know and we will add your name to the list of already those who are being baptized next Sunday. So, and then the second reason why evangelism is important, not just because Jesus told us, but also because people will go to hell if we don't tell them. People will go to hell if we don't tell them. Family members, friends, coworkers, teammates, etc., will go to hell if they do not surrender their heart and life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So that's the reason why evangelism is important. So in this message, I would like to help us understand and to live out the point of evangelism. And I've got five things. Okay? The point, P-O-I-N-T. Yes, they all start with the first letter of the word, of the each letter for point. All right. So the first one, if you want to write this down, first thing we got to do is pray. We got to pray. Before we talk to people about God, we need to talk to God about people. Before we talk to people about God, we need to talk to God about people. Anybody who's in your life, God's laid it on your heart, begin praying for them. Begin praying for them. So what does prayer accomplish? Number one, it opens doors. If you're taking notes, opens doors. It opens a door for sharing Jesus with others. Paul explains this in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 through 4. By the way, we're going to be all over this book today, okay? Most in the New Testament. It says this, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. He's writing this in prison. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. So as you pray for specific people, God will open the doors and give you the opportunity to share with Jesus. And when you sense it, that he's opened the door, walk through it. Don't question it. Walk through it. Okay? And we're going to talk about ways we could do that in good timings. Second thing that prayer does, it opens doors and then we get to see with the eyes of God. With the eyes of God. It helps us to see people as God sees them with compassion and love. And as we pray, our hearts become burdened for those who don't even know Christ yet. So this especially works for people that can sort of cause us, you know, temptation to sin. Okay. So there are certain people in our life that it's easy to judge them. It's easy to be angry with them. They just know how to push your buttons. It's easy to be envious of them. Okay. And so, like for instance, if, prayer will help us with the temptation to judge people for their lifestyle. We will see them for who they are, not their lifestyle. Prayer will help us with the temptation to not show anger because of the conflict with another person. Prayer will help us with the temptation if we're tempted to be envious with what they have. Prayer is even a way for us not to be tempted with lust. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. If you see a woman and you lust after her, whether you know her or you just see her out and about, you know, one of the biggest and quickest ways to sort of remove that lust, pray for her. Pray for her. She's a person. She has a story. She's not a piece of property. She's a person with a soul, and she could be going through something. God knows. So instead of making it about yourself, guys, just pray for her. Okay, when I'm in the gym, there's a few ladies that I prayed for, right? I'm serious. I want to pray for her, okay? Yeah. Just don't gaze on her when you pray for her. But I'm serious. I mean, so prayer helps with the temptation in your life. Temptations to be angry, to judge, to be envious, or to lust. Another thing prayer does, it opens doors, it gives you the eyes of God. It gives you the words to say. It gives you the word to say. Prayer will give you the words to say. The Holy Spirit will empower you with wisdom and courage. Paul shares this in Ephesians 6:19. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Y'all, prayer will give you the words to say. You never know what to say? Begin praying for them. And then prayer can also give us divine appointments. Divine appointments. The more that we're in prayer and we're in tune to the heartbeat of God, the more that we recognize opportunities to share the gospel. And it prepares us and the other person It prepares us, our heart, and the other person's heart to receive the gospel. So how do we apply this? Here's what you're going to need to do. Here's your homework. Your next step is this. Write down three people who need Jesus in your life. Begin praying for those people every day. In fact, I'll take it a step further. If you want to send me a text, some of you have my phone number. If you don't have my phone number, you can get your phone out right now. I'm about to give it to you. And I want you to text me. Make sure my phone's off. I think it is. You could text me three people's names and so I can pray for them. And not just me, our elders will pray. We will pray. So my phone number, if you want to send me a text, is 770-546-0038. 770-546-0038. All these youth down here, they're like, okay, look, just send me prayers. Don't like, all right. So, but y'all, we need to write down those names and stick them in a place, get other people praying for them. Who are three people in your life that need to know about Jesus? Begin praying about them. Now, so that's prayer. The second thing we can do. Now, these aren't necessarily in a certain order, like the point of prayer. The point of prayer is more of a sequential order, okay, to that. This is basically ways that you can evangelize. Okay, or things that you need to, this is what evangelism can look like in your life. The second word is own the evangelism. Own it. The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Peter 3:15, that in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but to do this with gentleness and respect. So what are some ways that you can own the responsibility to share Jesus? Tools. If you're writing notes, tools. On the back table, we have a basket of invite cards. Nothing would thrill my heart more. There's a few that would thrill my heart more if you surrendered your heart to Jesus, obviously. But nothing would thrill my heart more if that basket was empty and we had to order more invite cards. It's on the offering table. Grab you a pack, grab you a few, grab you one, whatever it takes. Grab you some invite cards for you to share an opportunity to invite them to church or share them about Christ, new life with Jesus. And so we have that availability. That's how you own it. You have it with you. Another way to own it, I've shared this before. I think I may have a slide on this. Share Your Faith app. If you have not downloaded the Share Your Faith app, this is a great app that you can use to share your faith. I have led people to the Lord with this app. It's free. Some of you in this room have been led to the Lord with this app. So have this on your phone, ready to go. It's a tool. Another way you can own the evangelism is call yourself a missionary. Begin calling yourself a missionary. We see this in Romans 10, verses 14 through 15. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Look to the person next to you and say, you have beautiful feet. It's okay. It's not a pickup line. By the way, guys, never use that as a pickup line. Not good. You have beautiful feet. The reason why you have beautiful feet, because you are a messenger. How beautiful, how lovely are the feet of those who bring the gospel of peace to the world. If you are a Christian, then you have been sent. It's not just a pastor's job, the elder's job. In fact, it's even more effective if you do it than I do it. Because people say like, well, you're the pastor, it's your job. But y'all, man, it's like, no, come to my church or let me tell you about Jesus. So owning owning your evangelism, you could do that by tools and then call yourself a missionary. But one of the results of owning your evangelism is it builds your faith. It builds your faith. Just like a gym makes you stronger when you are, you know, owning the responsibility of going to the gym. Okay? So, if I had the Bible here, and I just put it on the shelf, and I never really picked it up and to read it, that's like me getting a gym membership and never going. It's like, well, I'm a member of a gym. Okay? Or I have a Bible. But it does no good unless we are using it. So we want to make sure that you are doing it. But it builds your faith. If you could tell others about your favorite football team, then you could definitely share about Jesus. If you're sharing that you are a Georgia Bulldog fan or Auburn fan or a Tennessee fan or an Alabama fan or a Florida fan, do we still have those Florida fans in here? I don't know if there's any Florida fans. An LSU fan, go Tigers. If you're sharing more about your favorite football team than about Jesus, and I'm telling myself this, y'all, we got to check our balance. Check our spiritual balance. For every time you share about your favorite football team, share a new life in Christ. Either to that person or to a different person. So, application. Your next step, download the Share of Faith app and get some invite cards. Okay? I'm giving you practical things you can do. Okay? All right. So, the point of evangelism, pray. You got to own it. And then you have to invite. Now, I did talk about, you know, tools for to invite, but what I want to do in this section is I want to look at some questions that you have asked and me, and over the years and as I've been in ministry, these are some questions that that I receive from people who try to invite others to church or to new life in Christ. So, after Jesus invited Philip to be a disciple, Philip then invited Nathanael. Check what John says about this in John chapter 1, verse 45 through 46. Philip found Nathanael and told him. Now, just so you know, Philip's already been called by Jesus to be a disciple. Okay? And then, so Philip is telling Nathanael about Jesus. We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth, can anything good come from Nazareth? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. Come and see. Like the people that you want to invite, y'all, Nathanael had questions. But Philip could have spent time trying to answer that question, which would have caused the invitation, I think, to flounder. He kept it simple, and he totally ignored that question. He said, look, just come and see. Just come and see. Like Philip, we don't have to explain everything. We don't have to explain everything. Just invite people to come and see. So there are three questions that I get a lot. Even when I'm talking to the people about Jesus, or when you share people about Jesus, number one is a theological question. What if they have a deep theological question? This will let you know, you will not know all the answers to the theological questions. I don't know all of the answers, because there's all kinds of different beliefs and everything. But, you know, most of the time when someone's asking all of those incredibly difficult kind of theological questions, the reality is this, they are diverting from the need of a Savior. They're just diverting. They're looking over here when really they should be looking over here. So get back to the basics of freedom from sin and a new life in Christ. Don't get caught up in the weeds. Now, there are some theological questions you want to answer. And the very basics, Jesus was the Son of God. He lived a sinless life. He was born of a virgin. He died on the cross willingly. He rose from the dead. And he lives up in heaven. And he sent us the Holy Spirit so the church could grow. Now let's talk about your life. Where would you go if you were to die today? Because you don't know when that will be. So theological questions. So don't get caught up in all of that. All right? Just keep it simple. The second thing is this, political questions. What if they ask political issues like abortion, gay rights, and all this stuff? First, understand this, that so much of the issues of what our culture thinks are political actually fall in the spiritual conversation. There should be nothing political about issues about abortion, homosexuality, transgenderism, all of that. I give people, when I share about Jesus, they kind of go there, and I'm like, bro, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. I keep the invitation and the conversation about the sin that we all have in life, the sin of mankind and the need for a Savior. There, people may want to get you talking about certain hot topic issues. Don't go there. Hey, let's just talk about your life. That's about our need for a Savior. And I'm, again, as we go through there, I'm going to give you some other things you could do. So, theological questions, political questions. Here's another one I get. Church hurt. What if they have been hurt by the church? First of all, let me say this. Church hurt is real. It is. There have been people mistreated, abused, while being a part of a church over the years. I mean, I've experienced as a pastor, a little bit of church hurt and that. So your response would be to acknowledge their hurt and show empathy for them and remind them that the church is full of sinners. If you are a sinner, raise your hand. Come on, come on, come on. Yeah, there we go. We are a sinner, and if you have accepted Christ as Savior, you are a sinner saved by grace, and you're walking in sanctification, which is slowly but surely becoming like Jesus by the way you read the God's Word and how you pray and how you fellowship with other believers. And so you are slowly but surely becoming like Christ, but we are all sinners. And there are people in our church, in the church, the bride of Christ, who are not mature in their faith. So, yeah, church hurt is real, but also let me say this. There have been people who have experienced church hurt, but in reality have experienced what is called conviction of the Holy Spirit. If someone is attending church, if someone who is attending church refuses to yield their life to what is in the Bible, then they could be called out by the Holy Spirit through conviction, or even called out by a leader in the church through accountability. So you have conviction, you have accountability, and then they blame it and label it as church hurt. Listen up, y'all. There's a difference between church hurt and just being butt hurt. Right? There's a difference for being church hurt and just being butt hurt. So, application. Practice explaining the need for salvation in simple terms. Ask questions to help others recognize their spiritual need. Use real life examples in your personal struggle. You can do that. So, ways you can have evangelism in your life. Pray. Own it with tools. Be ready at all times. Invite, even if people have questions, just get to the basics of that. And then the fourth one is needs. It's important for people that you talk to about Jesus that you point to the fact that they need a Savior. Go to the biggest need of their life. The biggest need in their life is that a lot of people have a hole in their heart, a hole in their soul, and they just don't know what to do about it, and they just feel empty. They don't have peace in their life. They need a Savior. Don't assume just because maybe someone is nice that they're going to heaven. There will be a lot of nice people in hell. In fact, I'm pretty confident there will be people who are nicer than me in hell. Why? They're nice people, but they've never accepted Christ. It's not about being nice. It's about being holy before God, and God is the one that makes you holy through his blood and his sacrifice. People need to understand that everyone sins. We see this in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. People need to understand they can't earn their salvation. Ephesians 2:8, 9. By the way, all of these scriptures are on that Share Your Faith app that you need to download today. Okay? Ephesians 2:8, 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So their need for a Savior is important for you to keep in mind, but there are actually other needs that people will present and opportunities in their life. So there are sort of three sort of seasons or things that could happen in their life. Troubles. When you talk to people, listen for the troubles in their life. It could be loss of a job. It could be sickness. It could be drowning in debt. It could be living in guilt. Remorse, it could be relationship trouble, whatever that is. Listen for trouble in their life. Use that as an opportunity. Oh, that's a need. I can speak into that. Trouble. Another T word is tension. If there's tension in their life, trying to find a job, meeting the needs, the demands of the job, work-life balance, that's a big need, paying the bills, loneliness, distance from family, those are tensions. They create tensions in your life. And if you're living with tensions, then there comes a time where there's a breaking point. And so as you talk to people, listen for the tensions that could be happening in their life. Hey, I can speak into that. So we have troubles, tensions, and we have transitions. Transitions like newly married or a new baby, moving to a different town or city, starting a new job or transitioning from being a student to having a career, moving from depending on mom and dad to being on your own. I mean, there's all kinds of transitions. Losing a spouse. Y'all, there's some really big transitions that people face in their life. And so we can speak into that. We can bring hope to their life. And so listen for that, because there is a need. Yeah, they need a Savior. But there are other needs in their life during times of troubles, tensions, and transitions. Here's your application. Your action step is to be on the lookout for people walking in these areas. So this week, next few weeks, I want you to, when you talk to people, even the people you don't know, listen for those potential needs in their life. So, how do we live a life in evangelism? What's the point of evangelism? We need to pray. We need to own it. We need to invite people. Listen for the needs that they have. Introduce them to Jesus. Okay? You can use the needs of people to introduce Christ. And your last and final thing, testimony. Your testimony. I love this quick verse, Psalm 107, verse 10, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Another version says that let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed tell the story. If you have been redeemed, if you used to be this, you met Jesus, and now you're this, you have a story. Never underestimate the power of your story. Your story is so powerful. Here's what your story can do. It can encourage others. Even though your story is unique, God places people in your life who, like you, are struggling with something similar as you have in the past. Does your before and after testimony include things like alcohol, drugs, casual sex, abuse, fear, divorce, despair, gender confusion? Then there's someone in your life who needs to hear your story. How you came from here to here. You met Jesus and he helped you through that. And there's all kinds of examples of stories. No one can argue with your personal experience with Christ. No one. No one can argue. They weren't there. It was you and Jesus. No one can argue with that. Another thing your testimony do, it gives glory to God. Without the power of God, it's not like, well, I used to do this and had a drinking problem, so I went to AA and me and my friends, we got it taken care of. No, that's definitely possible. Absolutely, 100%. There's a lot of people who do that. But there's a deeper addiction there, a sinful addiction that you can't get rid of without Jesus. And not just that, but lots of other things. It could be porn, whatever it is. Whatever you're going through right now, you can go from here to here. In the middle, you meet Jesus and you give glory to him. God's the one that did it. God's the one that saved me. And I'm going to shout it from the mountaintops that it was all about Jesus. The more you tell the story, the more that you are reminded of his goodness, his glory, and your power. Do you realize that? The more that you share your personal testimony, the more it gives you confidence to walk as a believer, and it gives you a reminder of God's goodness and God's faithfulness in your life. And then, final thing, the testimony, your testimony does, it brings victory in your life. It brings victory in your life. Y'all, this is very, very powerful. Look at Revelation 12, verse 10 through 11. This is John writing. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. That's Jesus. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, that's the devil, the accuser, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They trampled over him by the blood of the Lamb and by what? The word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Let me tell you what, church, if you want to walk in victory in your life, you need to start sharing your story. Because your story is a reminder to the accuser who's in your head giving you all kinds of stuff that you don't need to hear. You need to share your story. It says it right there. They overcame the evil one by the word of their testimony, by the blood of the Lamb. But Jesus already took care of that. You've accepted him for those who have. And then you have a testimony. You have a testimony. Start sharing your story. Let me tell you what God did. Let me tell you what God did in my life. Let me tell you what God is doing. Even not just a point of conversion, but what God continues to do in your life. Share your story. It'll let you walk in victory. It'll let you walk in victory. That's what the Bible just told us. Here's your application. Write out your personal testimony. And practice sharing it with people. What's your story? Write it out. Prepare it. Write it out. What is your story? Your story is as unique as your thumbprint. What is your story? Write it out and practice sharing it with others. So, evangelism, it involves prayer. It involves owning it. Inviting others, looking for their needs, and then sharing your testimony. Let me conclude by speaking to those who have yet to maybe cross the line, whether you're watching live or watching later or you're in this room. If you have never crossed a line of faith and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, can I tell you something? God loves you. God loves you with all your heart, with all his heart, even in the worst times. Even when you were at your worst, God still loves you. We see this in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. A new life in Christ takes a declaration and a belief. We see this in Romans 10:9 and 10 as I close. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, but it is with your mouth that you profess and are saved. Y'all, today's the day. If you have been waiting and waiting and waiting and putting this off, today is a day to get right with the Lord right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Important time. No distractions. If you're sitting here today, you say, Pastor Frank, man, it's time. It's time. I need to accept Jesus. I need him to come in my life right here, right now. I'm not going to ask you to come forward or anything. I'm not even going to ask you to stand, but I will have you do this because I believe there's a connection when you do something physical, also while making a decision with your heart. So if you want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior today, just right where you're at, no one looking around, just raise your hand right where you're at. If you want to make Jesus Lord today, right where you're at. Good. And if you're here today and you're like, Pastor, I have not shared Jesus as much as I should. I need to be a better missionary to the people in my life. Just could you do that right now? Just have that conversation with God. Say, God, I'm sorry for not being the missionary that I should. Help me to do that. And if you're here today or watching online, you never accepted Jesus, simply say this, God, thank you for sending Jesus. I believe you died on the cross. And I believe you live in heaven. I want to live for you. Please be Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.